Hello and welcome to The Nourished Wrap, a podcast brought to you by The Balanced Nutritionist, a clinic based in Brisbane, Australia, specialising in personalised nutrition centred around real food. This podcast features clinical nutritionists, Katie King and Nicole Bentz, as well as special guests. Please remember that the ideas and concepts discussed in this podcast do not replace individualized medical advice. If you love the podcast, find The Balanced Nutritionist on Facebook and Instagram. For more info or to book an in-clinic or Skype consult, check out our website www.thebalancednutritionist.com.au. For now, tune in and be inspired.
Welcome to another episode of The Nourished Wrap. Thank you for joining us, guys. So Nicole and I are here today with Rachel Blom, who's a counsellor. So thank you for joining us today, Rachel.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
So we thought it would be appropriate to have Rachel on the show today because, it's Christmas, and while Christmas can be a really relaxing and joyful time for some of us, for other people, it's not their favourite time of year.
That's right. Yeah, it can bring up a lot for people. So people can really enjoy this time, and other people can really become stressed by this time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So there's no one better to interview about that particular side of things than Rachel. So just before we give the listeners some ideas and tips and talk through this topic, mm-hmm. why don't you give us a little bit of an idea about your background?
Yeah, so I'm a counsellor. I'm a registered professional counsellor with the Australian Counselling Association. And I'm also a spiritual counsellor and a spiritual coach. So I work with people who are spiritual and people who are non-spiritual. I'm a yoga teacher as well as an intuitive. So I do several different things, and that is I work with people based on where they're at. So I've been teaching yoga for 11 years and counselling for about, a good few years now as well. So I work with people. I'm an integrative therapist, so I work with them based on the tools and techniques from different therapies and modalities that I can help them to on their unique individual journey.
Yeah.
Depending on what comes up for them. Yeah.
Great. And you see what sorts of clients primarily, like all ages or?
Yeah. So I see probably from about 16 years old up. I mostly see men, women and couples, but I do have some teenage clients as well. The way I work is I work with anybody who wants to work with me, if that makes sense. So mm-hmm. people approach me, we'll have like a 10-minute consult about whether or not I'm a good fit, because I don't like to kind of waste people's time. Because time is energy. And so we check out if we're a good fit. And generally, I can help them with whatever it is they need. So that can range from anxiety to depression to self-esteem issues. I work with couples. I work with people a lot around boundaries too. People who need to perhaps put boundaries in place for relationships, work issues. It's really a long list of the things. I can help people with suicidal ideation. And again, whether they're spiritual or non-spiritual, it's really working with them and where they're at and what they've got going on.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, is this time of year a time of year that you find is maybe a different energy for people and brings about different challenges? Maybe we could sort of start with that.
Yeah, so I think this time of year can bring up a lot for people, because people tend to get fatigued a lot this time of year. Their self-care practices, sometimes nothing, depending on what they've got going on. So work commitments can increase. They might need to travel to see family and to see friends, and that can start to trigger and bring up some stuff for people. So mostly I see that expectations start to become sometimes unclear and difficult for people, because they have an idea of how they want Christmas or their holidays to look.
Yeah.
And sometimes what is actually happening might not necessarily meet that. So expectations start to, of other people, of themselves, and self-care practices can drop, and people can sort of find themselves triggered by what's coming up, you know, or preparing for what's coming up, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Do you find that these days, in terms of social media and the kind of whole perfect Christmas ideation, you know, plays into that as well and has kind of exacerbated those triggers for people?
Yeah, most definitely, because then we go into comparinitis. You know, it's like I compare myself to what someone else's showreel is. So I'm seeing someone's showreel on Instagram, on social, you know, social media, and even in real life, you know, it looks like there's these lots of families are going out and they're having these fun times, but we don't know what goes on for them. You know, we don't know the arguments those families have, or the troubles that you know they have, or we don't know what's going on in someone's life behind their photo on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And I see a lot of that. You know, I see a lot of people who are confronted by that, who feel less than or not as good as those people because mm-hmm. of what they're seeing, but not what they're actually, they don't know the person's story.
Or reality.
Or reality, yeah, that's right.
And then obviously Christmas can be financially stressful for a lot of people and, you know, seems to be more about presents and gifts and that.
Presents over presents, yeah. Yes. Right? Yeah, so sometimes the biggest gift is the time spent with people and the you know, the lead up, maybe going and looking at the Christmas lights rather than and breaking things down rather than that big expense of buying big expensive gifts that sometimes people don't appreciate or even use. So, yeah, there can be definitely a financial burden as well mm-hmm. at that time of year. Yep. So people can be hit through finances. They can be hit through stress. They can be hit through, you know, different things that come up for them. And it's the meaning that people give to those things. You know, sometimes they are the ones that want to buy the gifts, but and that's important to them, but not necessarily to the person who's receiving it. So it's yeah. these expectations that we have around Christmas mm-hmm. and what we should do or what we're doing beyond our means. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, to keep things really practical because, mm-hmm. I mean, I guess probably to put things into context, you know, this is going to air in December, so people are probably going to be listening on their way to work and stressed out of their brains because they're like, oh my gosh, 2 weeks until we shut up and everybody's working extra hours and all of that sort of thing. What are some of the things that we can kind of help people with and maybe give them some ways to cope better and actually have a bit of peace and relaxation over Christmas, whether they celebrate Christmas or not? It's still a holiday.
Holiday season. So some of those things can be is actually breaking it down and living each day.
Yeah.
So it's that future focused and buying into busy. So a lot of us will buy into busy because we have this checklist. And sometimes the best thing that you can do for yourself each day is to ask yourself, what do I need today? You know, what do I need to do today? And not necessarily ticking off everything on your list each day. So it's those steps that you take to enjoy each day and to kind of create some self-care practices that can help to sustain you over this period. So really breaking it down, being mindful about what am I doing today and then what am I doing tomorrow? And it sounds really flaky and cliche, you know, people will say to me, oh, that sounds easy, but it is easy, but the simple things that, you know, we don't want to do, sometimes we want a quick fix, mm-hmm. But break it down in, you know, work out what it is you need in each day, as well as what you're giving out. So what I say to people is you have an energy account, right? So it's like a bank account. And if you keep giving from your account, you're going to be in deficit, you're going to be depleted. Mm-hmm. So what do you need to do, especially this time of year, to keep your energy levels up? And to actually be able to sustain yourself and keep yourself balanced and well as much as possible over this time. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing. Take it, break it down. What do you need to do today? What does my body need? What do I need? Even 5 minutes spent outside earthing or, you know, having your feet anchoring into the ground, you know, practicing grounding, getting out in the sunshine, looking up at the sky. Just some little things that you can weave in, deep breathing. Mm-hmm. Meditation. I mean, some people don't like meditation, so it could be just legs on wall at night, you know, just something that you can do for yourself each day to be able to sustain and build on your energy and not deplete yourself for Christmas.
Mm. And slow down and not, yeah,
I mean, at the end of the day, a lot of people get to Christmas and they're so exhausted that they're like, oh my gosh, I'm too tired to enjoy Christmas Day anyway.
And is it maybe about being selective about what you choose to spend your energy on during this time as well? Because you get so many invitations and parties and, you know, functions and stuff. It's about saying, well, do I really want to go to these things? Or is that maybe another strategy?
Absolutely. So I get people to do what I call an energy account, which is each day track their energy levels. You know, what am I spending my energy on? How much energy do I have? And then it's, do I want to go to this or do I feel like I should go to this? And it's tuning into your body. What, and again, coming back to, what is it that I need today? You know, what do I need to do? Do I need to go here? Do I need to go there? And it's okay to say no. You know, a lot of people will struggle with boundaries and saying no and wanting to be everywhere, but that actually dilutes you. So it's what can I do to keep myself feeling as full as I can and as well as I can.
And as present.
Yeah, present, yeah.
And I guess, Chris, like, everything doesn't have to happen on Christmas Day, right? Like, you know, you can spread things out. You can catch up with friends and family in January. You know, it's just we put all this emphasis on, oh, my gosh, you've got to do everything in this 24-hour period. So people end up, you know, going to see five different types of the family in one day, and it's not really enjoyable. It's just one big rush.
So I often talk to people about setting up rituals and practice and, you know, things that suit and work for you. So you feel like I should go here and I should go then. So should is a word that I encourage people not to use. It's like what is best for me that day? What is best for my family that day? And, I mean, several things come up for me here because it's like sometimes people feel they have to go to their parents' house and then their husband's parents' house and then their friend's house or their auntie's or wherever. But then other people are completely feeling lonely and isolated, like they have nowhere to go. So in the lead up to Christmas, I think it's important to check in and self-support yourself. You know, what is it that I need, my family needs to do at Christmas? Do I need to maybe just go to one place and then, like you say, go to visit someone else the next day, Boxing Day or, you know, January or whatever it is? So it's getting in touch now with what it is you need and want to do rather than what you think you should do or what you've done in the past.
Yeah.
So it's creating self-support, and I call it also self-soothing, which is what do I need to support me around that time so that I can enjoy it and not feel torn or not feel, you know, for people that are lonely and at home, it's like putting in place maybe going to a club or going to a group, you know, connecting with a group of people, or just having a day where they maybe go for a walk on the beach or they create their own. It's really all about creating what works for you.
Yeah,
to support you.
And you talked before we were talking about expectations around, I guess, I think you were going down that track of maybe, you know, sometimes Christmas means spending time with people that perhaps you wouldn't choose to spend time with, and they may not make you feel good. Do you have any sort of, ideas around that sort of thing?
Absolutely. So there's several aspects to expectations. So we can put a lot of expectation on ourselves to have what we would call a perfect Christmas. So it has to look a certain way, and it has to, and so we put a lot of energy in that. And so that's like trying to control something rather than creating something that is enjoyable as well. So that idea of perfection, I need to have a perfect Christmas, because if it doesn't meet our expectations, we get disappointed. The other thing is expecting a lot of other people. So we might become triggered by our family, or we might expect people to behave a certain way, and then when they don't, we get disappointed. And the other thing that I say to people, and I use, you know, the term Aunt Mary a bit, it's like just as an example.
I feel sorry for anyone who isn't Aunt Mary.
I love Aunt Mary's. But say, for example, Aunt Mary or Uncle John or whoever. So we meet them, and our expectation is that at Christmas we want to have a great time, and it can go both ways. We expect Aunt Mary or Uncle John to be different to how they've been. So what I say to people is, you say, you know what, there's Aunt Mary. When someone triggers you, there's Aunt Mary being Aunt Mary. Of course, Aunt Mary is going to be Aunt Mary.
Even though it's Christmas, they're not going to behave differently.
Yeah. They're not going to behave differently because we expect something different. You know, it's always what we bring. So it's by saying there's Aunt Mary being Aunt Mary, of course she's going to be Aunt Mary. It's acceptance. Like, I accept that this is Aunt Mary and I choose not to get triggered by it, you know. Because we can't expect someone to be different or the same as us.
Mm-hmm. So it's about the way we're reacting to them, not necessarily how they're acting.
Yeah, yeah. And we can limit the time we spend with people that trigger us, or we can avoid it if we need to. But a lot of the work that I do with people comes from us. The change comes from us. If nothing changes in us, nothing changes. So when we approach Aunt Mary, we just accept that that's Aunt Mary. So we don't take on maybe the criticism, you know, oh, geez, that dress is, you know, short, or have you not done your hair or something like that. We just go, okay, well, there's Aunt Mary being Aunt Mary, and it's that detachment. Mm-hmm. So when we expect her to be different, or whoever it might be, a family member, a friend, an auntie, a parent, happens a lot, we just say, well, that's them being them, but I don't have to react to that. I can let that sort of sit with them and just sort of respond, which is, you know, whatever way that you can, or maybe walk away. Yeah.
And, I mean, there's obviously a whole nother side to Christmas, and that is the food side of things, which, you know, is kind of what Nicole and I spend a great deal of our lives talking about.
Yes.
So, and that kind of crosses into the counselling side as well.
Yeah.
Because sometimes emotions trigger eating. Christmas is a pretty big time for emotional eating.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, it can be a pattern throughout the year, but it can intensify at Christmas. Because what happens with overeating is we're feeding the feelings. So we feel empty, or we feel a void for whatever reason, whatever's triggering us. It could be that we need to face some family, or we feel lonely, or we don't feel, like you were saying, Nicole, about Instagram. You know, I don't feel like I look like them, or I feel different from them. So we feed the feelings and we fill that void. And what we do from an emotional standpoint is we're trying to feel full. And so we're trying to feel whole. So we feed ourselves, you know, and it can be addictive as well. And then what happens then, though, is after we don't feel full anymore, we can feel empty again. So with emotional eating, we're feeding the feelings instead of dealing with the feelings. Or, you know, being selective about what we're eating, or choosing to eat some of the things maybe that we wouldn't normally have, but we treat ourselves to at Christmas. So it's feeding that and feeling full, but at the same time, after that happens, we feel flat, and then the narrative comes in: I overate again, I'm a bad person, you know, there's no hope for me. That kind of narrative comes in once the food wears off. Mm-hmm. So we feel empty again, and so then we go back to eating again.
Yeah.
So, and that happens not just with food, but that happens with people, or that happens with being busy. You know, we can numb out and try and fill that void and try and feel full and whole. But the problem is it's coming from an external food, other people, that sort of thing, rather than from within. So a technique that I offer to people, and I'll offer it to everyone now, is when we feel emotions, we can push them away, push them down, or numb out to them. And what can happen is they build up and turn into a tsunami, a big wave of emotion, which can lead us to, for some people it's overeating, for some people it's
over-exercising,
isolating themselves, drinking, absolutely, there's so many things, spending money at the shops, you know, after the sales, you know, just whatever it is that we need to fill that void. So a technique that I offer people is just to place a hand on your heart, and you can do this anywhere, and close your eyes and just say, and I'll use myself as an example, my name is Rachel and I feel, say, uncomfortable. My name is Rachel, I feel uncomfortable. Or my name is Rachel, I feel triggered. And I stay with the emotion that's coming up. I'm Rachel, I feel sad, or Rachel, I feel angry or upset, whatever it is, and I honor the emotion so that I go within to what I call is we need to feel and deal to heal. So we go into the feeling, we honor it, we acknowledge it, and then we're doing self-soothing, self-support. And so then the more we do that, we're more inclined to make better choices that support us. And just one more thing on that is that, and when we have food choices, and like anything in life, life's 10% what happens to us, they say, and 90% how we react and respond. So if we do reach for that bar of chocolate and eat the whole thing or overeat at Christmas, that's an act. It's our thoughts about that that then cause us the most suffering and can sabotage us the most. So it's that self-sabotaging cycle where we say, I did it again. And so we bring in the past events, the past times we've done it, and then we set ourselves up for doing it more.
And really it's just one act, isn't it? And it can just stop there. Like that's what I've been saying to people all week. You know, Christmas is Christmas.
Yeah.
You're probably going to eat things that you normally wouldn't, and it's just,
exactly.
Doesn't have to be a big emotional.
And the thing is, I've been talking to my clients about as well, is to just enjoy it. Enjoy it. Be present in the moment, like you were talking about earlier on.
Yeah.
And enjoy it. Don't feel guilty because you're probably going to indulge in things that you might not do every day, but it's about enjoying that and then getting on with life, not dwelling on it
for the whole of 2020 and
perpetuating.
But that's the idea, and that's great, and it's enjoy it and do it. But for some people, it's programmed. And it becomes addictive. So it's like feeding an addiction. And stress becomes addictive. So eating can become addictive. So it's kind of retraining. And I help people to retrain their brain and retrain their focus to what they want to create and not what they've done before. You know, what you want to create, not what you hate. So what you want to focus on is the things, how you want your future to look, and then we work towards the steps to honour the past and what's happened and the story so that people can retrain themselves to do things differently. So not to reach for food, you know, to make different and better choices. But it can be an addictive response. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Did you have anything else that you wanted to kind of ask Rachel and Nicole?
I don't think so. I think we've covered it all, yeah.
Yeah. Was there anything that you wanted to add for listeners, Rachel, at this point? Maybe you could tell everyone where they can find you as well.
Yeah, so I work from Step Into Health here, and Saturdays are mostly my the days that I practice, but I'm available other days as well. You can reach me via my website, remind with Rachel.com. And, I'd love to, help or support you on your journey. But just to finish off, I think that it's important to really support yourself during this time and to work out what your needs are and what it is, how the kind of December that you want to create. So a lot of things are choice, you know, how do you want to co-create December and how do you want that to look? And focusing on how you feel is really important, and that gives you a lot of information. So going into that hand on heart, I feel this, and letting it pass, honoring the emotion, and trying to live each day, you know, making the most of each day, but also bringing in self-care practices like yoga or meditation or whatever your thing is. Could be dancing, just to shake off some of that negative energy or that stronger energy, and getting in touch with who you are, and just supporting yourself and keeping those energy levels topped up.
Right. I think that's a great place to finish. Thank you so much for joining us, Rachel, and we'll catch up with you guys later in the month.
Thank you.